Welcome to the third week going through the Bible in 2021. This is so exciting. We're looking at how to understand the scriptures, getting a grasp of the whole Bible, going through the 52 key chapters of the Bible. Now, I want to show you in the course of this study, and I know some of you are joining for the very first time watching this, and what I would encourage you to do is either stick with week three and go week four, five, six, or go back and not try and follow the calendar and start in January, but just go to week one, whatever the date you're starting, and go all the way through. So it's up to you. But let me show you what we're doing. We're covering the 52 most important chapters of the Bible, and I'm teaching you what I call the devotional method. Now, I'm going to show you what I mean, first of all, from my Bible and my notebook. And so what I'm going to do is, this is just a normal notebook. Inside, I've taped the 52 chapter, and if you want to copy this, you can look at our Facebook page, the 52 Greatest Chapters of the Bible Study, or our website, Discover the Book. Either one of those locations online has this overview of the study and this list of all the 52 passages, both in the Old and the New Testament. And you just need a Bible. And this is my Bible that I mark and underline and highlight and use. And those two things are going to be the tools you need. And let me just jump right in. Look at the slide, and we're covering Genesis chapter 6 through 8. It's the third week of our study. It covers the flood of Noah, and I'm going to show you in this study that Jesus in Matthew 24, verses 37 to 39, uses Noah as a picture for the end of days. So there's a prophetic element in this study. Next slide. You see where we are. We've already covered week one, which is Genesis 1 and 2. We've covered week 2, Genesis 3, which is the fall into sin and Satan's temptation of humanity. This is where we've gotten to. Week 3, Genesis 6 to 8, and we're looking at the global flood. In the next slide, I'm overlaying this entire study with this reminder. Each one of us who are studying the Bible need kind of like glasses. Now look up for a second. You notice I have glasses. Without these glasses, everything is kind of a blur. All the lights are kind of like snowballs, and off in the distance, it's just like blurry. In other words, I can't drive without my glasses. I can't even go to the grocery store without my glasses. I would have to get right up, in fact, to see, to read. I have to get this close, and then it's hard to even read. So why am I belaboring that? Because all of a sudden, I have perfect 20/20 vision. I look through these lenses. What are the lenses? Look at the slide. The lenses you need for personal Bible study, for understanding the Bible, is a framework. You have to understand where passages fit. Let me show you what I mean. This is my personal biblical framework. I'm not saying this is what you should be. I'll just tell you this. I've read the Bible over 100 times, 100 plus times. After reading the Bible, I'd say 20, 25 times, I began noting that I agreed with the Bible that I was an evangelist. In other words, people need to be saved. I was an imputationist. Only Christ can save, not works, not the church, not me trying harder. I became convinced the scriptures are inspired. That's an inerrantist. But look at what we're studying here in Genesis. I became convinced that I'm a creationist. Because the Bible says God made everything in 6 solar days. Now, if you don't understand that, you can go back when you start in week one, or those of you that have already been in week one, you understand because I belabor that point. But look what we're learning this lesson. I'm a catastrophist. Noah's flood really happened. Now look up for a second. Guess what? Everywhere we go, Bonnie and I fly tens of thousands, actually 100+ thousand miles a year. When we look out the windows of the airplanes, we see everywhere in the world the evidence that the whole world has been in a water disaster. I mean, from the Grand Canyon to fossils up on top of the Andes Mountains, the Alps in Europe and Switzerland, there is evidence, look back at this slide, that Noah's flood really happened. And so that's what I'm going to underline in our study. The next slide. We've entered the second of the three major divisions of the Bible. Paul, the Apostle Paul, has a three-part outline of the Bible in Acts 17. This is when Paul shares the gospel on Mars Hill. And what he said is that people need to realize there's a creator. By the way, that's the theme of Genesis 1 and 2 we just covered in the last section. Then the introduction of the Redeemer. That's what started in Genesis 3. We're actually right next to that in Genesis 6 through 8. The Ark of Noah is a picture, probably one of the greatest pictures in all the scriptures, of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Now, you see this picture up here? Christ in all the scriptures? That's a study, another course I teach about all the types and figures and pictures of Jesus Christ. We're going to see that Jesus is the Ark of salvation. And then the final, you notice there's three divisions in scripture. Genesis 1 and 2, the creator, then introduces from Genesis 3 through Revelation 5, Jesus Christ as redeemer, and then we meet him as judge. So Jesus is the creator, Jesus is the redeemer, Jesus is the judge. In the next slide, creator means we're designed by him. So that explains our origin. How did I get here? Redeemer means I'm bought by him. That gives me a purpose in life. That's why I'm here on the earth. And judge, that's who Jesus is. I'm answerable to him. That's my destiny, where I'm going. Now, look up for a second. Those three points are the three biggest questions every human has, and the answer to those three questions. Where did I come from? My creator. He designed me. Why am I here? He is the one that has given me purpose in life because he redeemed me. Paul put it this way, I'm bought at a price. Therefore, I live my life to glorify God. Why is that important? Because he is the judge. Me, personally, as a born-again Christian, I'm going to stand in front of Jesus Christ and he's going to ask me what I did with my precious one and only life I got to live here on earth. Look back at the slides. Creator, you're designed by him. Redeemer, you were bought by him. Judge, you are answerable to him. That's your origin, your purpose, and your destiny. Next slide. All of this, the personal biblical framework and what I just shared with you, that overview of the Bible, helps me understand and interpret. Now, interpretation is what the Bible means. Understanding is me being able to put the pieces together. And that only comes by the vital key of context. So this is what we learn in seminary, and I'll just summarize it for you. The primary interpretation of any scripture, it's not what it means to me. It's what God was saying when he originally gave that scripture. So you have to know the historic context. We're in Genesis. Moses gave this to the children of Israel. How did they understand it? That's the key to understanding Genesis. The geographic context, where it fits in the whole view of Scripture, the whole canon, and the words themselves, the syntax, the grammar. When all those are combined, you have proper biblical interpretation. Okay, what is my method? What is the devotional method? What is the 52 greatest chapter study? Well, first, I read the passage in the Scriptures, and then I check all the background materials in the MacArthur Study Bible. Now, look at the slide there of the MacArthur Study Bible. And I know you're not trying to read it, but what you see at the top is the yellow highlighted. It says, the sons of God saw the daughters of men. In Genesis 6, there's a unique passage that talks about, well, I can read this. The sons of God were identified elsewhere in the Bible almost exclusively as angels, and they saw and took wives of the human race. There's a demon intrusion into the human race. You go a little bit further down here, you see there are giants. See in verse 4, the blue there? But look at verse 8. Noah found grace. And then verse 15, a description of the ark, the size of the ark, how many animals would fit in it. Then verse 19 down here, the yellow, there are 18,000 species and how they would fit in the ark. Here, the next part of this MacArthur Study Bible is a chronology of the flood. And then the major mountains, like Mount Ararat, is the first mountain mentioned in the Bible, but it goes all the way through Mount Zion. And then there's this fascinating, see that yellow highlighted area is about a dove and a raven. There's a whole lesson about unclean and clean and what Noah is doing, letting the birds out to check. And then the last note right here is the tie with the flood and 2 Peter chapter 3. So look back at your slides. That's what I look at in the MacArthur Study Bible. Then I record my devotional findings. So first I read the scriptures, and as I'm reading them, I'm reading those notes in the MacArthur Study Bible. And so that's the first step. But the second step is writing something down. And there are three things that I do every time I study the Bible. I write a title for each chapter of the Bible that I read. I find as many lessons, truths, and doctrines as possible, but I write them down in my own words. Now, let me show you what I mean by that. I'm going to go to my handheld device, and I'm here on my journal, and I wanted to show you how I taped in the front the 52 greatest chapter overview, and then here are the chapters. But let me get to right here, Genesis 6 through 8. Now, I'll try and hold this still. You notice that I put the passage I'm studying. I titled the whole section, The Flood of Noah. I summarized right up here what's going on in all three chapters. These are my lessons right here. And then this is my prayer application. So in Genesis 6, the whole world except Noah is only evil continually, and God picks Noah to build an ark. In chapter 7, they enter the ark. You notice it's not even complete sentences. Look at my lessons. Number one, God sees what we're thinking and doing. That's what it says in verse 5, and it grieves him. Number two, God chose Noah by his grace. That's in verse 8 of chapter 6. Noah responded in faith. Number three, the ark is a picture of salvation. And I'm going to explain that to you. Number four, God sent the animals. It actually says that. God told the animals to go and they obeyed. Number five, God keeps his promises. And I just started noting he kept Noah safe. The flood stopped. He spoke to him and told him to come out. And everybody was safe and Noah sacrificed. And then I write this prayer. And then I always do this at the bottom. This is a list of things I want to study more in depth. And those will be the added-on lessons. This lesson is just an overview, but there's going to be an added-on lesson. Then, look back at your slide. As I'm reading the passage, I'm making marks. See, after you title the passage, I actually do this noting. See this word right there? Look at how I'm highlighting and marking, and it isn't real clear, but anytime there's something like this demon intrusion, did you know that's mentioned in Jude 1? So I wrote that in my Bible to remind me. It's in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Then Jesus talks about Noah in Matthew 24, so I want to remind myself of that. Look at right here in verse 8. It says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I don't know if you can read it, but I wrote right here, that's the first usage of grace in the Bible. Wow. The law of first mention is really exciting in Bible study. You learn so much. Here's another one at the bottom. I noticed that God changed his mind. You know, people talk about that, and so I did a little study on that. Up here, I start saying the ark pictures salvation. Salvation is planned by God. It involves perfect rest. There's a refuge from danger. By the way, the word pitch right there is the word in the Bible that elsewhere is translated atonement. 70 times the word kafar. So all of these notes, as I'm reading, I'm carefully noting, highlighting. So I read actively. And anything that comes to my mind that's fascinating, I want to remind myself of it. I even noticed that God puts all these date markers in. And so the reason that was interesting is from when Noah went into the ark to when Noah came out, there's over a year that God is silent. So that's the scriptures and the marking of them. Now look back at your slide. After I do all those lessons, and after I do all of the notes and copy them in, from them, I actually write. Now, some people think prayer should be spontaneous, and 99% of mine are. But I will always treasure the prayers I write from each chapter that I study. Look at the next slide, because this is my actual journal. And I've typed it because it's so hard for you to read my handheld scratches. So at the top of my journal for each section, I say 52 greatest chapters, week 3, Genesis 6 to 8. So I note where I am. Here's the title. Remember, I always do a title for every chapter. And this is a section. So for all three chapters, I wrote The Lost World of the Flood of Noah, and the end of the world. Why? Because, remember, in Matthew 24, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, it will be at the end. And we're going to talk about that in our notes below. Here's the summary. This is after everything, after I've read everything and everything. I typed in Genesis 6, the whole world except for Noah's family are only evil continually. Noah finds grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God instructs him to build an ark. Genesis 7. See, I'm summarizing each chapter. 7, Noah and his family enter the ark, and God sends this global flood. And then Genesis 8 is the end of the flood, and the amazing lessons that we can get from that, and I'll show you those later. Here are the lessons I found. And I just found in, there are many more than this, but I found 9 today. Okay, I did this today, just like you, okay? Genesis 6, 5. God sees what everyone is thinking and doing, and it grieves him. Now look up for a second. That one struck me. Bonnie and I are actually doing classes. I did 3 online classes today. We travel in a virtual studio. As we travel, we stay in different people's houses. We're staying in this house. This is someone that we only met a week ago, and we're right here staying in this house. But after the virtual studio, I record these. It's late at night, and I'm trying to get this out for those of you that are going through the scriptures. As I studied this early this morning, look back at your slide. I was reading Genesis 6, 5, and I thought, I was looking out the window. The city we're staying in is a huge, busy city, traffic everywhere. And I thought, God sees what everyone is thinking. They're actually building a house next door, and there are workers all around. And God sees what everyone is thinking and doing, and most of it grieves him because we're such sinners. Verse 8, God chose Noah by his grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God is the one that initiates salvation, but all that are saved respond. And Noah responded in faith. Look at Genesis 6. The ark is a picture of salvation in Christ. Why? Because God planned it. That's what it says in 14a. It became a place of rest. You know what's fascinating about that? The word that there were resting places for the animals in the ark is the very same word in John 14, where Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. It's the same word when the Hebrew Old Testament was translated into the Greek of the Septuagint. The word from John 14 is the word that's in Genesis 6:14. It's very interesting. The pitch, the atonement, I already showed you that in my Bible. He covered it with pitch. That's the word for kafar, for atonement. And look at this. There's only one doorway. What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Genesis 7:1, God invited them to come into the ark of salvation. God sent the animals. Boy, that was fascinating. I spent a long time thinking about that, that all of a sudden, two of every animal started, they just looked up, and God told them, time to walk to the ark. And God knew where they were. And they came from all over the world, and they started walking toward the ark, two by two. It's fascinating. Let me read to you. It says in chapter 7, verse 13, on the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and his three wives of his sons, entered the ark. Remember, God invited them in, told them to go in, Genesis 7:1. But look at verse 14. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. And verse 15, and they went into the ark to Noah, two by two of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. Do you understand? God alerted all these animals to start coming, and they all came and arrived at exactly the same moment. Now you say, why are you spending so much time thinking about that? Because if God can direct birds and creeping things and land animals of all kinds and can get them all to the doorway in an orderly manner that they come through two by two after Noah and his family are on the ark, they watch this parade go by. Why? Well, look back at your notes. Because, see number six, God keeps his promises. God was showing that he was in control. He told Noah to build the ark. He said, if you obey me, you'll be safe. And they were. And they stayed in there till the flood stopped. And then look at verse 15. This is the first time God spoke between Genesis 7:1 and 8:15. God is silent for over a year while the flood raged. That must have been hard inside the boat, the ark. From 600 years, 2 months, and 17 days to 601 years, 2 months, and 27 days, that's over a year and 10 days, God was silent. Now look up for a second. This is to remind us that sometimes we feel like God is not around and we feel he's left me. Can you imagine how Noah felt? All the rocking of the boat and the rain beating for 40 days and God said nothing. It was dark in there. Stormy outside. But now look back at your notes. God remembered them. And God took care of them, even when they didn't know he was taking care of them. Verse 19, all who entered the ark survive. None is lost. Compare 7:1, 7:13 to 15, and 8:19. And then the wonderful conclusion, Noah offers a burnt offering. Next slide. Here's my prayer. And now you'll see why these notes are so important. First, I'm going to just go through the elements, and then I'm going to actually read this prayer as the very ending of our time together. But let me just show you the elements. Lord, you can see all my thoughts. Do you remember that? God saw everyone's thoughts, and it grieved him. But when he looks at my thoughts, he sees my deepest heart's desire. Even though I fail the Lord, even though I sin, even though I don't perfectly follow him, my deepest heart's desire is to please him. And so, like Noah found grace, I ask for your grace to deny ungodliness in my life. By the way, in my journal, I noted Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. You know what it says there? The grace of God that brings salvation teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. So I said, Lord, I want your grace to help me deny ungodliness. Increase my faith in your truth. See, Noah found God was silent for over a year. I've never heard the voice of the Lord out loud, but I do hear his voice through his word all the time because by faith I believe his word, his truth. I want his way which the Bible reveals. I want to follow his plan for today. Thank you for the security. Remember the Lord, it says in your study, you're going to see it says, God shut the door of the ark. There was no handle. God shut it and sealed it. That's a picture of salvation, security I have in Christ. He is the ark of my salvation. Now look at this. This is why I talked about the animals. Since you can direct specific pairs of animals to enter the ark, I want to entrust all my needs, all my plans, and all my fears to come under your control. If God can take care of the animals and the rain and make sure they had time to build the ark, he certainly knows what we need, the timing of it, our plans, and he can allay our fears. So, I do trust you with every part of my life. You keep your promises so I can live and walk by faith. Now, next slide. I showed you my Bible. The reason I'm telling you this is my Bible slowly gets marked up. In fact, I would encourage you to wear your Bible out so your family can get you a new one and ask you why it wore out and you can show it to them. When it wears out, you copy the best truths you found into a new Bible every few years. But what happens is every time I see my notes, those reminders trigger a memory. So every day I'm in the Word, it stirs everything I've ever studied in my lifetime. And people say to me, and think about this, all the time people say to me, how do you remember that? You know what they don't realize? I have all those marks in my Bible, and every time I read the Bible, it reminds me of everything I've ever learned my whole life. So if you'd like to understand the whole Bible, start consciously following something like this devotional method I'm showing you. Back to the slides. I have this theme verse for our whole study. Your devotional study is finding the Word of God. Your writing it down and finding applications is meditating on it. The more you meditate, God's Word becomes inside of us joy and rejoicing. There are many people that need highs. You know, they've got to buy something or do something or feel something or music or whatever. Do you know what brings me transformational internal joy and rejoicing? Meditating on the Word of God. What happens? I realize I'm called by the name of the Lord God of the universe. My identity is totally found in Him. Next slide. I have two final challenges for you before I read this prayer and close our time. Number one, find someone with whom you can share your findings and your application prayer. Now, look up from the slide. Christians are not islands. We are not meant to be solo, all alone. Notice the Lord's Prayer doesn't say, my Father in heaven, you know, give me. It's our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now listen, give us. Everything about Christianity is shared with a group of other believers. So look back at the slide. Find someone with whom you can share your findings and your application prayer. Say, you know what, I'm in a year-long study through the Bible and I need 5 minutes. Would you please give me 5 minutes? And show them that you're reading Genesis 6 through 8 and you are going to find all kinds of exciting things you never even realized before or there. And then say, you know what, this is what God's doing in my life. Now look up for a second, I want to share with you. 5 years ago, I began taking groups of people through the Bible this way. 10 groups. I had 10 small groups. 5 years ago, I started them, and we met, and we'd go to Panera, and we'd go to Starbucks, and we'd go to Chipotle. I remember once we were in Chipotle with 3 guys, and all of a sudden, this whole group of state policemen in the state where I was serving at that time, in their dark blue suits, all came in and got in a line around our table at Chipotle. And I noticed that one of them, the biggest one, he stopped talking to the other policeman and he started watching us. I didn't think anything of it because, you know, we all had our Bibles out and we were pretty into our study. About 20 minutes later, the other guys started looking, I could tell someone had walked up behind me, and I felt a hand on my shoulder, and I looked around. There was that great big dark suited, you know, boots and big gun policeman. And he said, "Do you ever do Bible studies like this with people like us?" I said, "What do you mean, people like us?" He said, "With policemen." I said, "Sure." I gave him my email address. Believe it or not, I started a active duty police Bible study. It was an exciting one. They would sometimes roar off from the study when they got these, you know, alerts that they had to go to something. But that was one of the most special groups. But you know what I learned? No matter how big and tough you are, look back at the slide. This is the hardest thing to do. Not to apply the Bible to your wife or your children or your friends, but apply it as a prayer that I want God to change me. Share that with someone. Here's the last slide. Start a review. Start or review a scripture passage. Take the ultimate challenge. You should be learning scriptures. Now, there's a lesson zero in the YouTube playlist that has the 52 greatest passages to memorize in the Bible. You ought to, if you haven't watched that yet, why don't you consider taking the ultimate challenge and getting those on the back of your phone one at a time and memorizing them, okay? But before I go, I want to remind you, Bonnie and I are full-time missionaries. We're on the road right now. I'm teaching actually classes along the Pacific Rim. If you think of it, pray for us. We've had more trouble with cameras and everything else, and so just ask the Lord to bless. But remember, if you want to comprehend the Bible, do all 52 weeks. We're on week 3. Genesis 6 through 8. I'm a catastrophist, and also I believe that God has mapped out the future. And if you stick with this study to the end, we're going to cover all the way to the book of Revelation. Well, I'm going to pray this prayer, and I want you to, as I'm doing this, think about who you would share this with. And after you find it, write it down, share your insights, and then say, and I would pick someone that is important to you, someone that maybe prays for you, someone that loves you, some, maybe if it's your roommate, it could be, you know, your parent, could be your husband or wife, could be a classmate, could be a coworker. Maybe you'll start a small group Bible study with them, because you know what happens? People say, "What are you doing? I want to do it too." And you can say, "Well, look, I'm going through these 52 chapters. Okay, let me close with this prayer. Bow with me. Lord, you see my thoughts and my actions. And as you look, I pray you'd see my deepest desire is to please you. I ask for your grace. And I want to deny by your grace ungodliness in my life at every point. Increase my faith in your truth, your word, your way, and your plan today. Thank you for the security I have in Christ. He's the ark of my salvation. Since you can direct all those pairs of animals to enter the ark, I just want to trust you with all my needs, my plans, and my fears, and I want them to come under your control. I trust you with every part of my life. You keep your promises, and I want to live and walk by faith. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen." What a blessing to share this study with you. And I pray you get started and don't quit for 52 weeks. Go with us through these key chapters of the Bible. God bless you this week as you study.